omnipotent, omnipresence, omniscience God. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God, the rock of our salvation. We bow our heads in reverence to you tonight. That you glorify your name in the midst of your people. Lower your hand from your throne. Look down. Bless this service. Glorify your name. At the end, let everyone say, we have never seen it in this fashion, for God himself was in our midst. Bless, we pray, in advance with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you like to sit down, everyone, please? I'd like to welcome everyone here and to commend to you the fact that we're here to enjoy ourselves and to relax in praising God and giving thanks to the one who has made this possible. And for those of you who are visitors here, I would just like to say that this evening the Archbishop, Reverend Benson Eidehoser, will be giving his Christmas message. And there will be the ordination ceremony. The Penal Choir will be singing for us. And without any more ado, I would like to call upon the Penal Choir to sing to us. The Penal Choir. Thank you very much.
He has come for me.
He's lifted me.
What? He's given me joy.
By sin, the frail and the wounded about to give in. There's news of release and captivity's end. We've been set free, come and see. Oh, sleeper, awake, come out of the night. Throw open the door and step into the light. For sin is undone and the wrong is made right. We've been set free, come and see. Come and see. The power of sin has been broken. The gates of your prison stand open. Come and see. Arise, believe. For the power at work both to rescue and save is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. We've been set free. Come and see. I too lived in slavery, unmercifully bound. Battered and broken, I finally knelt down. And there in obedience, freedom was found. I've been set free. And now through the dungeons of darkness at night, I run in the freedom of liberty's light, and shout to the captive or prisoner, take flight. We've been set free, come and see. Come and see. The power of sin has been broken. The gates of your prison stand open. Arise, believe. For the power at work both to rescue and save is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave. We've been set free. Come and see. The gates of your prison stand open. Come and see. Arise, believe. For the power at work both to rescue and save is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave.
The power of sin has been broken. Amen. Hasn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. First disobeyed the Father, we were then held captive by our sin. The law of God demanded a sacrifice, restoring to himself his own again. So the Lamb, his only Son, was freely offered. Atonement for our sin. And holy, still God and God only could ransom and redeem us back again. So I say, hallelujah, praise the Lamb.
The Lamb, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. Praise the Lamb. For He alone is worthy. Hallelujah. Please take your seats.
You know, if you think I feel strange here, you're right. You know, one thing you want to remember is, look, you look just as strange. Choir, it's glorious. You know, one of the things that the nonconformist church forgot to do is learn how to celebrate the gifts of God, the callings of God, and the grace of God. And it's good that we can have both. When the Holy Ghost is there, we can live in both. Amen? Amen. You know, you don't have to. And if someone, one of my plaits got caught, but if someone wants to love the glories of our God, then it's good that we realize there's many ways to express life. And let us be an expression of life. I'm alive. We don't change merely because we put on something different. The life, the heart is the same. The life of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of God are the same. But what we do, we let everyone know, hey, God's done something real in our midst. Amen? Amen. Do sit down. There's certain things you do and there's certain things you don't do. And so I'll refrain from telling you what I shouldn't. But you know where it is. God's good. You know, one of the privileges is to come together and celebrate the gifts that God has given to us. And that's what we've come to do. I want to welcome each one who's here for the first time, if you've never been here. Just relax and enjoy what God's going to do. We've come to meet with Him. And it's with Him we have to do. So don't worry about anyone else. If you think people around you are strange, what I'd like you just to do for 1 minute is just stand up. Don't leave your seat. Turn around. Greet someone you didn't come with. Just let's all stand. Turn around. Greet someone. Don't leave your seats. We're here today to celebrate the gifts that God has given to His church. We're not somehow endowing people with gifts. We're acknowledging what God has already established. And it's a privilege to have a man of God among us who's been used of God in many, many countries around the world. I think it's 142 countries. Sorry. I added one, but that was prophetic. Amen. And it is good when a man proves himself and when a man's ministry is seen. No one can doubt what God has done. I know, I've been there, I've seen what God has done. And when you can see what God has done, there are so many people that talk, and they don't produce. They have good doctrines, good theories, but don't produce. But I've been there and seen what my eyes have seen, what my hands have handled at the Word of Life, and seen the miracles that God has done. And those men are rare in the earth. And it's a privilege to covet earnestly the best gifts and to enjoy what God has done and what God gives to men. He gives gifts unto men. And it's a real privilege this night to have the Archbishop with us. He's a man of God who's been a voice to the nations. And ever since I've known him, the one thing I've found is he sticks closer than a friend. And that's the most important gift of all. He cares. When I was in my first time in Africa and I went to Kaduna, and I found he spent 20 minutes just getting everyone into the church, making sure everyone was seated comfortably, and just waited patiently till everyone was cared for. And that's a shepherd's heart. Jesus Christ sent us to be a shepherd. And such a man is he. He's been a good friend to this ministry. He's been a good friend to me. So faithful. And yet he's shown me a way and challenged my heart every time I've been with him. Challenged me to go on. Challenged me to greater heights. Challenged me to believe God for greater things. And every time I go to Africa, I see more things done, greater challenges. And that is a good thing, isn't it? We all need challenging. This is but the beginning of something. I believe God wants to birth something in this land. And I'm not going to lay claim to anything but this. That I know what God has done here among us is precious. I know the people here to me are very precious. The work of God here is precious. But most of all, the individuals are precious. And he's been a father to us. He's been a brother to us. He's been a support to us, a comfort to us, a challenge to us. But most of all, a living example to us. And I want to welcome him again with a heart full of love and gratefulness. Let's all stand and welcome the Archbishop.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Everyone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a joy to gather here tonight to see new army to be added to the team of winners, and to God be the glory. As our bishop has said, we've come to celebrate. Oh, come, let us adore him. First and second stanza and the last.
Oh, come, let us
may be seated. Merry Christmas to you all. I just want you to know the way God designed life. That every January 1st, we all, rich or poor, well or sick, bound or loose, are giving hope for a fresh new year. And as the year progresses, after January, the year starts to wear off. February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Many, many times, by the time you get to September, October, and November, it's as if life is suddenly going to wear off and wear you out. During the month of January, February, March, April, May, June, July, you find that many, many people have knockdowns. And many times, many are bruised and wounded. But look at what God has designed. Start the year in January with a sound. Happy New Year. Now, towards the end, as you have passed through all the travails, trials, temptations, tribulations, wounds, bruises, suddenly the last month of the year comes. And many times within this period of coming to the end of the year, you and I begin to think of what we were unable to do. Unable to build house, unable to buy a car, unable to marry a wife for those who are not married, unable to get a husband for those who haven't found men to marry or man to marry. And then suddenly, as you start to ponder, what has this year given me? What have I made out of a year? Born with joy, ending with sorrow. Suddenly you see on the streets, bright lights in every store, bright light in every street, bright light in the business houses, bright lights in hospitals, bright light in orphanage homes, bright light at record stores, bright light in business places, new song in parliament. Great joy to every leader, even those who don't believe he was born. They are forced to acknowledge something is happening in society. Then suddenly you hear in every store, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us all proclaim, let us all come and adore him. Suddenly inside your mind, the sorrow and the grief of the things you were not able to do during the year begin to fade. And as you hear, joy to the world, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Joy to the world, the Son of God is born. Joy to the world, every business house, even eating houses, begin to get rowdy. Suddenly, by the divine working of God's power, you begin to forget. I wasn't able to marry. I wasn't able to buy a new car. I wasn't able to get money in my bank account. Suddenly you begin to get yourself spending what you never thought. And then suddenly you hear somebody say, my name is Professor Yahweh. I'm a pastor. This is my Christmas card for you. Oh, Christmas card. Bright light. Then you come to the church. Look at a place as beautiful as this. Oh, what is happening? The Lord is born. By God's divine arrangement, you find that the year that started joyfully is suddenly ending joyfully. Not minding what happened in the middle. The God of miracle. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Suddenly take your brain from you and say, never mind. Bad yesterday is not a song for a good today. It's true that yesterday was bad, but the Prince of Peace has come to take us from our shackles, take us from our wounds, take us from our injuries. Even in the airline, 37,000 feet from the ground, 8.5 miles, the pilot said, Merry Christmas. the air hostess and say, Happy Christmas to you all in advance. You begin to think less of what you were unable to do and begin to rejoice even in want. Be happy, be happy, be happy. Everyone is smiling. In the aircraft, meal for the month of December is different. They serve you Christmas meal in the aircraft. Even though the airline owner do not believe in the birth of Christ, he is forced to rejoice that something is happening in the air. And to the glory of God, we who know whom he is, unto us a child born. And to us a son is given. And the government, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And we shall reign with him forever and ever and ever and ever. And let every child of God say loud amen.
Yeah.
This is what happened nearly 2,000 years ago. Matthew chapter 2 recorded it in this way. Beginning from verse 1, turn to your Bible. When the first verse of Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Listen to these words. In those days, time passed. In time past, one day, the announcement changed from riot in Bristol to God has given us a son. And wise men, I love the way the Bible put it, wise men, not foolish people, not those who say there's no God, heard the sound. And listen to what the Bible says in verse 2. The wise men came from the east, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. That's what Christmas stands for. Lose your darkness, see his star. Lose your sorrow, see his joy. The Bible calls him the King of Glory. The Bible calls him the bright and morning star. The Bible calls him the Son of the living God. We have seen his star. We have come to worship him. It doesn't matter how many darknesses or gross darknesses or the darkness of gross darkness you have experienced from January. The month of December is so significant that those who once, Luke Gospel says, those who dwelt from eternity to eternity in the darkness have now seen his light. And that light is coming to you today. Amen. You're going to miss your darkness, and God is going to show his star to you. When the Prince of Peace comes, the son of darkness disappears. When the God of light comes, sorrow vanish. When the Son of God comes, the Bible says not even the ground can yield thorns anymore. And for this Christmas, I want to give you hope that darkness is vanishing and light is coming. Sorrow is disappearing and joy is coming. Sickness is leaving your body and healing is coming. Death is going and life is coming. Look at what the Bible says in verse 10. When they saw the star, somebody say that with me. When they saw the star, say it very loud.
When they saw the star,
they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I didn't hear you. Wouldn't that be a day that not only you have joy, but the exceeding great joy? That's what God wants to do for his church. These days we are having temporal happiness by the happenings of things. But that day is coming when the church will no more sing a song of happiness, but sing a song of joy. Because the Bible says, out of your belly, rivers of living water will flow. Look at what the Bible says in verse 10 and 11. I want to read it together so that you can understand where I'm going. When they saw the star, wise men saw the star. Wise men rejoice. What does that mean? They have not even seen the Lord. On the way to where Jesus was born, hear this, everybody. The wise men were misled. They went to Herod's house. And immediately as they stepped into Herod's house, the star disappeared. When God sends you to the church and you go to drinking bar, the star will disappear. When God sends you for life and you go for death, the star will disappear. When God shows you joy and you prefer to be sad, the star will disappear. The wise men went to Herod's house and suddenly the star who never will stop in ungodly king's house will disappear. He disappeared. The men were conversing uncomfortably. Because as they lifted their head up in the living room of King Herod, suddenly the star was not there. There's no sign that there was light anymore. One of them pinned the other and said, Pastor Peter, what are we doing here in Herod's house? This is not where the king is born. There's a difference between the king of glory and the king of this world. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
One of them said, Peter, let's go. Let's get out from here. What are we doing in the wrong place? Being in king's house does not mean you have the king's heart. Being a member of the highest body on earth doesn't mean you know the law. But when you know Jesus, death is gone, life is come. And they came outside. And suddenly they lifted their head. Oh, where is the star? Oh, where is the star? Oh, where is the star? And one of them said, Professor Yahweh, lift your head up. Look at that side. Look at the star. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. This coming Christmas, I turn your eyes to the Prince of Peace, the bright and morning star. He still brings joy to the sad. He still brings healing to the sick. He still brings abundance to the poor. For him is life, and without him is no life. For he that has Christ has everything. This is the message of Christmas, that Christ is come that we may turn from darkness to light, and turn from death to living, and turn from poverty to prosperity, and go from death to living. Verse 11 said, look at verse 11. For those of you who do not believe that Christ brought prosperity and he has prosperity. When they were come into the house, everybody say that with me. When they were come into the house. I didn't hear you. Mark said in manger. Luke said manger. But Matthew said, after they left the manger, they came to the house. This Christmas, God is going to give you a house to replace your manger.
Amen.
I wish you heard what I said.
Amen.
I wish you heard what I said.
Amen.
You live enough in manger. Get out of manger. Come to the house. When they came to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. We have been theoretically and theologically taught that Jesus was born in a manger. He lived in a manger. Study your Bible carefully. I do not deny that he was born in a manger. But when silver was coming, when gold was coming, when myrrh was coming, the Holy Spirit said to the mother, gold is not for manger. Silver is not for manger. Take my baby from manger to the house where they will see him glorified. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take him out of manger. Take him to the house. Let's see what they did. And I want to say this to all of you. Don't come to the church without seeing Christ. When you come to the church and you miss Christ, the purpose of your coming to the church, you are going to see Christ is outside. They came to the house. I love to hear that. Everybody thought he had no house. But look at them. They came to the house. And they met the baby. This is how I know Jesus wasn't too poor as many people have been trained to believe. Oh, you say the reason I don't have house is because Jesus have no house. Read your Bible, John chapter 1, verse 35. Where dwellest thou? Come and see. Why are we saved? Saved that we may have light. Save that we may have life. Save that we may stop complaining and start complying with the truth. For the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Christmas is a time of losing your manger to find a house.
Hallelujah.
Where you are born is not as important as where you are in God and where you are going after this place.
Amen.
You may be born white and born red and born black. When you are not born again, you are not born yet. Does anybody hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
If this man was a white man, I would not be in England tonight. If this man was a white man, I would not go to America. And if I was a black man, I would not invite this man to Africa. We refuse to be black and white. We become the children of the Most High God. From your skin color to brighter calling. Christmas blind your eye from your skin and brighten your face. Christmas put a spring to your feet, a sparkle to your eyes and brightness to your brown eyes. Christmas, when they came to the house, look at your Bible. God is going to give you a house this year. If you believe it, let me hear you say loud amen.
Amen.
Look at what they did. When Mary his mother and fell down and worship him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Gold. Somebody said gold. Frankincense. Say frankincense.
Myrrh.
Look at what the baby who have never walked since he was born received. How do I become prosperous by Christmas? I expect him that my creator and possessor has sent me to this world not to blacklist me or blackmail me, but bless me with gold, bless me with silver, bless me with frankincense, bless me with myrrh. I believe what God is not able to do, no man can improve on it. And God wants you this Christmas to have the gift of eternal life. And after the gift of eternal life, he gave man Christ before he gave Christ gold. And Jesus is an example that serving God does not mean poverty. He received gold. He received frankincense. He received myrrh. Today, there's a gift coming your way, beginning with the gift of the Son of God. And I am trusting God that this Christmas will not leave you without being blessed. They presented unto him. And listen to this. Gold. What do you have for Christ in Christmas? What do you do for him in Christmas? They fell down. If you have never worshipped God before, Christmas is the time of acknowledging him as the King of Glory, who you must bow your knee and adore and call him King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you have never paid tithe from the beginning of the year, bow your knee this December. Pay your tithe. Give him offering. It's part of the joy of Christmas. When the wise bow their knee, how much less some of us who are not as wise. I wouldn't like to use my mouth to say some of you who are fools. But I like to say, not everybody is wise. Some people have larger head than brain inside. And this Christmas, God is going to put brain inside your head and give you reason to celebrate. Verse 12 says, where I'm going to conclude this short message. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. But listen, verse 20. Look at verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in the dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead who sought the young child's life. Christmas brought you protection. Christmas brought you safety. Christmas brought you, they that seek to destroy you die, and you return to where you want to go. Stand to your feet tonight. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let's sing the four stanzas. Open your mouth and adore him. Wise men did it. How much less you. God has come down to earth. Let's go to God. He was born that we may be born again. He became man that man may become the child of God. Joy to the world. The Lord is come.
Joy to the earth. The Savior.
You wasted your years in search for life and light. This is your birthday in history. If you have wasted your years since you were born, and you want God to turn your darkness to light and take your life from death to living, I'll be glad tonight, as all eyes are closed, at my request, that you raise your hand from wherever you are. If you want God to turn your darkness to noonday, lift your hand up wherever you are. You say, Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to you today. I want to give you my life as a gift of Christmas. I want to know you as my Lord and Savior. While all eyes are closed, may I ask you to step from where you are and move by my right hand side here. Come down here quickly. Come and say to Jesus, I'm surrendering my life to you as my gift of Christmas. So you'll be able to say, on the 15th, of December. Come forward. Don't. Nobody's looking at you. If they are looking at you, it's for joy. This is the best thing that could have ever happened to you. When you say, God, on December 15th, 1995, I gave my life to Christ. I made him my Lord and Savior. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Put this date in your calendar and see what God is going to do for you. Old things will pass. Your days of death are gone. And your days of light has come. If there's still anyone more who wants to change his life from death to life, from sorrow to joy, this is the hour. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is the day. A great day for you to say, I was born again. I never forget 1959 when I gave my life to Christ. From that time till now, he's given me a turnaround. Oh, as you worship him this Christmas, what a gift. Instead of gold or silver, your greatest gift is your life to God.
Joy to the world, the Lord.
Heads bowed. All of you who came out to present your life to Christ, and the generality of all of us at this congregation tonight, let's make God a harvester of our lives as you repeat these words after me, one by one and jointly. Say after me now, my dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of your Holy Child, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I surrender my life to him. Say it louder, everybody. I surrender my life. From this day, I make Jesus the Lord of my life. I renounce my sins. I accept Christ as my master, the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. You came from heaven to hell to show me the way. From this day, I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. Take me, Lord. Make me a new creation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Father, I present to you these ones that came out to say, Lord, show me your way. Lord, I pray that from today, the truth they've come to hear and know will set them free. Your word says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you, Father, for truth and setting them free now. I bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, everyone say, amen.
Amen.
Bow your heads wherever you are. Those of you on television, you are watching this video or watching this broadcast. You want to say, my life got light when I gave my life to Christ. It's the best Christmas gift you can have. But the Bible says, he that has the Son has everlasting life. He that has not the Son have no life in him at all. I want you to pray the simple prayer of faith with me as I lead you to this salvation prayer, even on television or by this video. Say it with me loud from your heart and mean it from your heart. For this could be the greatest confession you have ever made. As I pray with you now, my dear Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. I give you my life. I turn from darkness into light. From this day, I will follow you all the days of my life. Thank you that you came from heaven to hell to show me the way. Born to set me free. Went to the cross and died that my sin might be forgiven. And from this day, I take you as my Lord and personal Savior. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart, you died to set me free. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name I pray. And we all in the church join you to say, Amen. Open your eyes, everybody. Joy to the world. The Lord is good. Congratulations to all of you who gave your life to Christ tonight. You see him as a new master and savior of your life. Joy to the world. Rejoice with us. Your sins are forgiven. Your life is turned around. Joy to the world.
Joy to the world.
Joy that for the first time and the beginning of more times to come, we of this ministry, at the order of our bishop, the presiding bishop of Panel Churches International, welcome all our friends and loved ones, members of the family of God's household, friends and relations of those to be ordained tonight. Parents of those to be ordained tonight. Wives of those to be ordained tonight. Husbands of those to be ordained tonight. Loved ones of those to be ordained tonight. It is with joy and gratitude to God that I welcome all of you to this ordination service. I have received the counsel of our presiding bishop of this ministry at home and abroad to preside over the ordination of men and women tonight into the priesthood and service of the extension of the kingdom of God. Therefore, just with gladness, I call on Professor Yahweh to tell us the next thing. Put your hand together and welcome the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My duty is very simple tonight. I am going to read the citation on each of the ministers to be ordained tonight. And as I call your name please stand up for recognition while I say a few things about you. The first person is Peter Lineker. He is to be ordained the senior pastor of this church. Peter holds a master's degree from Cambridge University and a certificate in education from Oxford University. He is a member of the Institute of Directors and also a director of his own company, McCartney and Dowie Financial Services Limited. Peter has been married to his wife Caroline for 18 years. They have three children, Ben, Stephen, and Emery. Peter has been assistant pastor to Bishop Reed for 17 years. He has been a founding member of the church and an invaluable help to the bishop and his wife. The bishop, therefore, has no hesitation in recommending that Peter Lineker be ordained as senior pastor of this church. As I call on your name henceforth, please remain standing and don't sit down. Reverend Abraham Lawrence. Abraham Lawrence was educated at the University of Ghana. He later went to the United States of America to take a master's degree in business administration. He came to England to train as a management consultant and an accountant. Abraham worked at Harrods as a project accountant and then at Her Majesty's Treasury as an economic advisor until 1992. Abraham is married to Beatrice and they have two daughters, Evangeline and Shireen. Abraham is currently a member of five influential committees nationally and locally which deal with issues affecting the community. He is currently the senior pastor of the New Creation Christian Center, a church he planted in September 1995 at King's Cross, London. Abraham is a man of vision, tact, and action, a man who wants to serve the Lord. The bishop, therefore, has no hesitation in recommending that Abraham be ordained a senior pastor.
To save time, let him read the citation to everyone And as they all stand, clap until you leave, not die.
Eric Asare. Eric was born in Ghana, West Africa. He was saved in 1980 and since 1982 has been in full-time ministry. In 1991, he planted a church in North London called End Time Ministries. Since 1984, Eric has chosen to be involved with 31 other ministers where they work together for the glory of the Lord. Eric's next project is to set up a missionary base in Africa. He feels there is a need to reach the rural areas of Africa where the gospel is less ministered. Eric Asare has worked diligently for the gospel for 13 years, and as such, the bishop has no hesitation in recommending that he be ordained as a pastor. Miedri Clemenson. Miedri is being ordained as a pastor in Pinal Bible Assembly. Miedri was born and raised in South Africa. She went to Stellenbosch University in Cape Town, where she took a diploma in sectarian studies. She has been married to her husband, Rob, for 25 years. She has four children, Rob, Ruth, Ingrid, and Sam, and one grandson, Jack. She has been a member of the church since its inception. She has been personal assistant to Bishop Reed for 16 years. She has also been musical director of the church during this time. Miedri has been a tremendous support to Bishop Reed and the entire ministry team. The bishop, therefore, has no hesitation whatsoever in recommending her to be ordained as a pastor. Lawrence Casey. Lawrence was born in Ghana. He went to the University of Ghana, where he became a member of the Christian Union Fellowship. In 1986, Lawrence left Ghana and joined the New Life International Ministries, where he worked tirelessly for the growth and establishment of the ministry. He has continued to live by the word of God, always diligent and determined to achieve his objectives. In 1995, he became senior pastor and leader of the Light of Word Ministries. Since his elevation to this position, Pastor Lawrence has shown exceptional leadership qualities. The bishop has no hesitation in recommending that Lawrence Casey be ordained as a pastor. Caroline Lineker. She's being ordained pastor in this church. Caroline holds a master's degree from Cambridge University, and she's also a qualified solicitor. Caroline is a church treasurer. She has been married to her husband, Peter, for 20 years. They have three children, Ben, Stephen, and Emma. Caroline has been involved in church administration and ministry for 18 years. She has also been involved with church music during this time. Caroline has been vital in the ministry team and a great support to Bishop Reed and his wife. The bishop has no hesitation whatsoever in recommending that Carolyn Lineker be ordained a pastor in this church. Andrew Love. Andrew is being ordained as a pastor. Andrew is a chartered accountant and currently works as deputy finance director of an insurance services company. He has been married to his wife Belinda for 8 years. They have 3 children, Joshua, Felicity, and Charlotte. Andrew has assisted in pastoral duties at the Pinard Church during the past 8 years. He now regularly preaches at Pinard churches in the Netherlands and in Belgium. Andrew is also assistant treasurer for the church. He is also involved in the church music ministry. Andrew has been a great help to the ministry team, and the bishop has no hesitation in recommending his ordination as pastor. Jap van der Poel. He is being ordained pastor Pinard Pentecostal Church in Holland. Jap has a doctorate in mathematics from Leiden State University. He was previously employed by the state to teach both primary and secondary mathematics. He is currently employed by ING, working in the Department of Advice and Information. Jap is currently serving as the pastor of the Pinard Pentecostal Church in Rotterdam, which was established by Bishop Reed. Jap is happily married to Ingrid, and they have 5 children. The bishop has no hesitation in recommending that Jap be ordained as pastor. David Asamoah. David was born in Ghana, West Africa. He obtained a bachelor's degree in science and technology in 1986. Since 1983, he has been heavily involved in ministry. He has preached at many schools and colleges and has organized numerous crusades. He has helped particularly with starting up 2 churches in Ghana. David is married to Rita, and they have a son named Jesse. Since arriving England in 1991, he has obtained a diploma in international ministries. He has served in various supporting pastoral roles and is currently an associate pastor of the New Creation Christian Center in London. David Asamoah has been a great help to Pastor Abraham Lawrence in setting up the New Creation Christian Center. And as such, the bishop has no hesitation in recommending that he be ordained an assistant pastor. Colin Clemenson. Colin was born and raised in Zimbabwe, Africa. He has been a member of Pinard Church since 1978. He has been married to his wife, Jo, for 17 years. They have 4 children, Verity, Jeremy, Hannah, and Jessica. Colin is a successful businessman and is a partner in a computer recruitment agency called Scott Merrick Associates. Colin has always taken an active role in organizing events and projects for the youth of Pinai. He has been the worship leader of the Pinai Church for 17 years. He is also a dedicated member and soloist of the award-winning Pinai Church Choir. Colin has been a tremendous support to the ministry team. And as such, the bishop has no hesitation in recommending his ordination as an assistant pastor. Sheila Graziano. Sheila grew up in a Christian home. Her father was a pastor of an independent evangelical church. Sheila trained in piano and flute at Notre Dame Music College, where she gained a diploma in music education. Sheila has been married for just 1 year to the husband, George, and she's expecting her first child in January. Sheila joined the Pinai Church 8 years ago. The choir has been under her direction since November 1990. At that time, there were approximately 38 members. As the Pinai congregation has grown, so has the choir, currently numbering 110 voices, which have become an integral part of the worship and outreach of the Pinai ministry. For the last 6 years, she has worked as personal assistant to Pastor Andrew Love, and she now currently works as personal assistant to Pastor Mildred Clemenson. Sheila has been a faithful and valuable member of the ministry team at Pinai Church, and the bishop therefore recommends that she be ordained assistant pastor. Ita Russell. Peter has a BSc honors degree in physics, as well as a master's degree in electronics materials. He has been a school teacher for many years and now teaches physics at Pinai Academy. Peter has been married to his wife, Lois, for 21 years. They have 3 children, James, Joe, and Esther. Peter was pastor of a church in Chelmsford for 15 years. When he came to Pinai in 1990, he was so impressed by the life of God he found in the church that he moved all his members to Pinai. God wonderfully changed his life. God has wonderfully changed his life and the lives of all those who came with him. Peter has been a source of great help since 1990, preaching in the Pinai churches in Holland and Belgium. The bishop has no hesitation whatsoever in recommending his ordination as assistant pastor. Oliver van der Puye. Oliver was born in Ghana, where he gained a degree in mathematics. In 1987, he joined the pastoral staff of Christian Action Faith Ministries with responsibility for teaching and training for a period of 2 years. He then joined the Faith Foundation Ministries International, where he has since served as the assistant pastor. He has since ministered in America, the UK, and extensively in Ghana. He has chosen to specialize in organizing training programs in schools and workplaces and speaking at conferences. Oliver is engaged to Monique, and they are due to be married in 1996. The bishop has no hesitation in recommending that Oliver be ordained as an assistant pastor. We have just two more persons found worthy to be honored and lifted of the Lord. Christopher Lincoln. Christopher holds a Bachelor of Science degree from Southampton University. He has been employed by Northern Telecommunications for 25 years, where he is chief manager of the electrical design department. Chris became a member of Pinai Pentecostal Church in 1977. He has been married to his wife, Antia, for 17 years. They have three children, Helen, Joe, and Lois. Chris is in charge of all electrical work that is carried out on site at Pinai Church and Pinai School. He has also been a tremendous help in setting up the music system for the church. The bishop has no hesitation in recommending Christopher Lincoln be awarded the position of a church deacon. Last but not the least is Robert Whittaker. Robert holds an MA from Cambridge University, as well as a diploma in management from Sheffield Polytechnic. Robert has been a member of the Pinai Pentecostal Church for 17 years. He has been married to his wife, Shane, for 16 years. They have two children, Andrew and Jonathan. In 1989, Rob took a year off work to supervise the building of Pinai Academy School. Rob is also in charge of all building projects undertaken by the church. Rob has been a full-time teacher at the academy for 8 years, teaching mathematics, physics, and sometimes chemistry up to the A-level standard. Rob has continually shown enormous dedication in all aspects of church life. He has been a tremendous blessing to the entire ministry team. The bishop, therefore, has no hesitation in recommending that Robert Whittaker be awarded the position of church deacon.
Joy and a privilege to be here tonight and to bring you greetings from the church in North America and the United States, and to join with the continent of Africa and of Europe on this special occasion to honor these who are being ordained here this evening. I count it a privilege of God to be here and to be a part of this occasion. So, God's word speaks to the qualifications of these individuals that were introduced to you tonight. And from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, I read to you from God's word concerning the qualifications of these that have been introduced. And I quote, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." God bless you. Amen. Amen.
And now it's my honor, having heard the testimony of these, to call upon the Archbishop that we might ordain. Let's all stand.
May I officially congratulate our presiding bishop and to congratulate each and every one of you nominated for ordination to the posts of senior pastor, pastors, assistant pastors, and deacons. I want to ask you all in one word. Do you, and you have to answer me, yes. Do you now affirm your belief in the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith? As contained in the New Testament and the doctrine of the church. Yes. Will you faithfully follow the orders laid down by this ministry and wherever God may assign you to work for Him? Will you faithfully Use your new position to serve your generation. Will you, by prayers and supplication, daily ask for God's guidance as you seek to do the will of God? Now may I, as your Archbishop, sound this warning to you. Your ordination is not a promotion to destroy what God has built. It's not an ordination for splitting the church to parts. It's ordination for you to be shepherd under the shepherd that God placed here. And you as under shepherds and deacons to serve God faithfully, not to cause confusion or ordain to go and establish your ministry because of your qualification, but to serve God faithfully. If this is your will, say this is my will. Thank you. May I ask those who have been nominated first as senior pastors to come here. The rest of you may be seated. Bow your knees. Close your eyes, everyone, and stretch your hand this way. By the authority vested on me, by God Almighty, an imposition placed upon me as presiding Archbishop, to the International Community of Charismatic Churches worldwide, we lay hands on you now to ordain you senior pastors in the ministry wherewith God has called you to preach, to teach, and to heal, that through you the gifts of God will be manifested. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, ordain you now into full-time ministry as senior pastors. That God Almighty lay His hand upon you, use you to preach, to teach, and to heal. Cast out devils, that Christ manifests His power through you. In the name of the Father, in the name of God the Son, and in the name of God the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. Rise and shine. Your light is come. Pastors, stretch your hands this way, brethren. For no man can do these things except God be with him. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. He who called you, use you. Walk in you and walk through you. By the authority vested on me, with the consent of the presiding bishop of this ministry, we, God's servants, lay hands on you to ordain you as senior pastors to the ministry, that you preach, you teach, you heal, and do the work of the ministry. By the grace of God Almighty and through His helping hand, that through you, this generation shall receive the word of God through you. Now we ordain you into the ministry. In the name of God, the Father. In the name of God, the Son. In the name of God, the Holy Spirit, we ordain you into the ministry. God will bless them. Command your hand from heaven to rest upon them as they preach, teach, and heal. Use them. Manifest your glory. Demonstrate your hand of love and grace. May they become threats and frightening forces to the enemy as they preach and teach and heal. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Rise and shine. Your light is there. By the power vested on me, and by the right given by the Holy Spirit, we lay our hands upon you to ordain you to the ministry as pastors. That God Almighty, who called you, give you the ability, the wisdom, and the knowledge to preach, to teach, and to heal. That you shall fear no evil. But at your side, the devil shall flee. You heal in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we ordain you now into the ministry. In the name of God the Father. God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit. Teach. Preach and heal in Jesus' name. God, use them and make good proof of their callings. For your honor and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Rise and shine. The light is coming. Through him, who is the head of the church, the Father of life, be glory his church. He that has called you, enabled you, strengthened you with wisdom and knowledge to preach, to teach, to heal, cast out devil in the name of him whom you love and serve, the Prince of Peace and the King of Glory. Saints, reach your hand towards them. Oh God, except you build the house, they labor in vain. For it is not your power and might after this day, for I have called you to manifest my glory, to exhibit my power through you, that the world might know I, who was dead, now live evermore. Preach, teach, and heal in my name. For lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age, says the Lord. We lay our hands to ordain you into the ministry. In the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Ghost, preach, teach, and heal. As we ordain you, rise and shine. The Lord manifests his power through you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Rise and shine. Stretch your hand here, everyone. By the power vested on me, by the head of the church, Jesus Christ himself, and by the right to ordain we lay our hands on you to ordain you to the position of deacons in this ministry, giving you the wisdom and right to operate by the backing of the Holy Ghost. We lay our hand on you now to ordain you to the ministry as deacons in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We bless you, that God use you, that through you, devils will be cast out, the sick will be healed, the bound will be loose. The name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everybody say, Amen. Amen. Rise and shine. The Lord bless you. The Lord use you. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than what we ask or think, be glory in his church. The blessings of God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with you all, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. You know, it's wonderful. Let's sit down. It's wonderful what God has done. And it's wonderful to have been a part of it. And I'd just like to call on Senior Pastor Abraham Lawrence to come. He'd like to share something. Let's give him a big hand.
It's a great joy to be here tonight, and I don't know what else to say, but just to give thanks to the Lord Almighty for his faithfulness to his children. On behalf of my family and the brethren from London who have been ordained tonight with me, it is my pleasant duty to extend a big thank you to the presiding bishop and all the members of the Pentecostal churches for making tonight a wonderful night. We just want to say a big thank you for being so good here. Yeah. To me, it's nearly 2 years ago when I was ordained. Little did I know that tonight I'll be standing here making my second ordination speech. But who will reject double anointing? Only a fool will. I will go for a double portion of an anointing. Had I known that I would be here tonight, I wouldn't have changed my mind, because tonight marks the beginning of a new thing in my life. Amen. I have enjoyed the experiences and working especially with Bishop Reed and Dr. Ruth and all the staff here. They've been a tremendous support and help to me especially, and also to the brethren who are seated here. We have found Christians who not only preach love, but practice it as well. These days, the world is fed up with preaching and not practicing it. And they are watching us, and they are looking to see whether what we say make any difference at all in their lives. And I'm glad to say that in this church, in this compound, the members of this fellowship have proved that indeed our God is a God of love. And I want to encourage you and to commend you for that. I cannot neglect this opportunity to pay special tribute to the Archbishop for his kindness and to his support. And in particular, to To all my colleagues, I can see your faces here who've come from the Palace of Westminster to really support me. Some of you from the Treasury, you are here for the second time to support me, my ordination service. I really thank you very much. But I want to conclude by saying that pray for your MPs. How many of you know your MPs very well? Their full names, their wives, their husbands. Well, maybe you don't know them very well. But I want to take this opportunity to encourage all of you to pray for your MPs every day. Visit them, support them, let them know that you are praying for them. And let them, invite them to your fellowship. They will come. We do it and they do visit us. And I will say that through your prayer efforts and through your support, who knows, they might come to give their life to the Lord. Although I have never wasted any time in giving thanks to all my colleagues and friends, I will say finally to the choir, you look brilliant tonight. And I said, I think it's because of me you wear these beautiful robes. And I really thank God. Finally to Madry and to Peter, to Caroline, to Andrew, all of them, your love, your support, we do appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you.
Glory to God. Well, there's only one thing left to do, and that's sing. Amen.
Listen to my story. It's a story about my Jesus. Amen. See the little baby, how he was wrapped in a manger on Christmas morning. By the seashore, talking to the fishermen, and he's making them disciples. Amen. Riding through Jerusalem, waving palm branches in power and in splendor. Praying to his Father in deepest sorrow, led before Pilate. Amen. Then they crucified him.